Ars Electronica, 2006. Simplicity, the art of complexity.
All right, as John said, my name is Jason Kotke. I am a blogger and a web designer, more of a former web designer. I did that for 10, 11 years. For the last 8.5 years, I've been keeping a blog called Kotke.org. And John asked me here to describe to you what it is I do with Kotke.org and a little bit about how I do it and why I do it and what it might have to do with what we're all talking about here, which is simplicity. But I'm going to start talking about information. Information is something that is, it's basically what I do. I digest a lot of information and I output a lot of information. And so I'm going to start there. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there's a lot of it, this information in the world. And more is being created every day, and more is sort of a vast understatement. There's a site on the web called Newseum. It's news museum at newseum.org, and they collect front pages of newspapers. So all the newspapers in the world, they take the front pages from all of them and put them up on the site so that you can see them. This is all the newspapers that Newseum collected front pages for August 23rd, 2006. That's 551 newspapers. Each one of those little squares is a thumbnail of a front page of a newspaper from 43 countries. And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg here. There's a study done by some folks at the University of California at Berkeley in 2003, and they were wondering, well, how much new information is created every year? So they sat down and looked at a lot of different media, and a number that they came up with is this number, which is about 7.1 quadrillion bytes, or 6,540 terabytes. So the hard drive on this computer, I think, holds 80 gigabytes, and a terabyte is 1,000 times more than a gigabyte. So that's a huge number. And what this number is the total amount of information printed in all the newspapers, all the copies of all the newspapers in the world every single day. So every day that number is being added, that amount of information is being added into the world just by newspapers. And this number is so big you can't even really imagine, can't really think about it in any sort of meaningful sense. So imagine a line of people reading newspapers. So you have a person here, and on down the line. And so a single line of everyone, of people reading all the newspapers in the world would stretch here to Paris and back again 14 times. So this is obviously a huge amount of information. And that's just newspapers. There's TV with the 24-hour news cycle on CNN and Fox News and the BBC and all these 24-hour news stations, pumping information, new information into the world 24 hours a day. You have people, movies, schools, universities, businesses. They're all contributing new information into the world every day. But I would like to move and talk about my own humble effort in adding information to the world, which is Kotke.org. So I've been doing the site, like I said, for the past 8.5 years. Here is a screenshot. You'll see it come kind of scrolling in here, so you can read a little bit of it as I'm talking here. And Kotke.org is a weblog. It's pretty much like every other weblog in the world. There's text and links and images, and it's me talking about things, linking to things, displaying other people's photos and words and images and things like that, whatever I think is kind of interesting. In the context of I guess, art or something like that, I guess you could say I curate links and ideas. I go out on the web and I filter through it and I find out what the web is saying about the world. And I filter that and put it on my website through my own personal lens of experience and interest and expertise. And the result is basically what you see here. And I'll go into a little bit more detail in a bit about how I do all this and things like that. But I'd like to take a quick little jab at simplicity. I don't want to talk about it too much directly because I think it's one of those terms that everyone seems to know kind of what it is, but no one seems to really be able to define it. And so I'm not going to attempt to do that. But I would like to suggest that in this context of filtering through information, curating it, aggregating it, editing information, that simplicity, it's helpful to think of simplicity as a process of adding meaning, not subtracting information. So simplicity as clarification, simplicity as a meaningful filtration of information. Again, I'm not going to go too much into this, but if you can kind of keep this in mind while I'm talking about what I do, I think it's helpful. So back to Kottke.org. Basically, I'm going to go through the stuff that I do every single day to do the site in order to find things that I think are important to put on the site. So every day, I browse through about 300 blogs, newspapers, and other sources. That's a lot. This is a program called Newsfire. It's an RSS reader, and it's is a magical application for me because it allows me to quickly, systematically, and easily read through these 300 sources that I go through every day. You know, without it, it would take several more hours than it does, perhaps. It just goes out, it gets the information that I want, and without it, I'd have a lot less access to potential information. And I think that's important because the more stuff I can filter through from a greater variety of sources, the better the end product is going to be. And I'll return to that idea kind of at the end. In addition to browsing through all these weblogs and reading them in Newsfire, I also do research based on, let's say I choose an item that I've run across in Newsfire, and I want to write about it, or I want to link to it, or I want to do something with it. I'll go out on the web and I'll do further research on it, so it's so that what I'm writing about and what I'm telling my readers is fair and accurate. I don't want to just rely on the one source that I've seen here. I want to go out and I want to make sure that if I'm saying something about something that what I'm saying is again, fair and accurate. I also browse sort of randomly, like people used to do before weblogs and Google showed you, you know, everything exactly how you wanted. And it's the best stuff. I find the best stuff this way. It's there's no substitute for true serendipity. Google is great because you can go and plug in a keyword and it gives you exactly what you're looking for. But you know, there's no substitute for the running across something you didn't know was there. And so I find the best stuff that way. I get close to 1,000 emails a day. About 900 of those are spam, luckily. And I never see them because they are whisked out of sight by my email program. That leaves about 75 to 100 emails that I do get, that I read. A lot of that is reader feedback from my site. A lot of it is link suggestions, emails from friends, mailing lists that I've subscribed to. So I read all those emails. And I would say, taking all that into account, so Newsfire, plus my email, plus the other surfing that I do online, I read between 15 and 30 articles a day of varying length. So, and by article I mean something of a length and a breadth that you might find in a newspaper article or a magazine article. And so, taking this into account, I probably read the equivalent of a 200-page book every 2 days, online, on screen. And another 250 pages of sort of skimming and browsing every 2 days. And my eyes are going bad because of it. So that's just online. I also keep up with several magazines a month. I read one or two books. I would like to read more, but I spend too much time reading online. Two or three movies a week. Listen to music all the time. And basically, anything that I do during the course of my day is fodder for the site, even when I'm not, you know, quote unquote, working on it. Anything that happens is fair game. Museums, I love going to museums. My MoMA membership card has a special place in my wallet, Paula. Travel. After this, my wife and I are going to be traveling around a little in Austria and also in Switzerland, I think. And you know, probably going to take some photos and write about where we eat and where we stay and what we do and things like that. Conversations with friends. I try and read at least one poem a month. I don't get enough poetry probably, but I try and get one a month. This is a poem that I ran across last year. I found this on the New York City subway. And I think if you read it, it might have something to say about what we're talking about here, about distinguishing the one among many. So all told, I would estimate over the course of a typical day, I see between 700 and 1,000 discrete links, discrete sort of ideas or chunks of information. And from that, I do a daily update. It's not all at once, but over the course of a day, I'll update Kottke.org. And you know, the output of that is what you see, you know, every day on Kottke.org. Functionally, that means that I write one or two sort of longish posts. Can be anywhere from a couple hundred words to, you know, 1,500 words. 8 to 10 shorter posts, which are basically just a link and some context around the link. I'll do book and movie reviews, and I also do larger projects. And I'll go through these in a minute so you can actually see what I'm talking about. But I want to talk a little bit about how I select things for the site. The selection is mostly subjective. I'm not out to provide an objective view of the world. It's very much whatever I like and whatever I think is interesting. And if you like the same things that I do, you probably like reading my site. If you're not interested in those things, perhaps it won't be as interesting. I'll put something on the site if it's an idea that I think deserves wider recognition or wider be read by people. And generally, things that help me get from where I am now to where I would like to be, I put those on there as well because I've read them and they've helped me in some way, and I want to share that with people in hopes that perhaps it'll do the same thing for them. So back to what's on Kottke.org. I mentioned the one or two written posts a day. This is one that I wrote recently about the Poincaré conjecture and Grigori Perelman, who's the Russian mathematician who recently proved it. And I thought this was a very interesting story because this, you know, it's been over, I think, 100 years or more, people have been looking for the solution to this problem. And this guy kind of, not a well-known mathematician, and he put the proof up on the internet, which nobody really does that. Like, they publish papers. He put it up on the internet. He gave a couple lectures about it, and then he moved back to Russia, and he stopped doing math. I think this is fascinating. And he, additionally, they gave him the Fields Medal for his work, which is like the Nobel Prize of Mathematics. It's awarded every 4 years. And he refused it. And no one's ever done this. And there's also $1 million prize attached to this thing. Everyone's pretty sure he's going to refuse that as well. And so this is kind of a fascinating sort of human interest story, but it's also about the math. And so I wrote this post about it. It took me about an hour. I read 3 or 4 stories about it in different magazines and newspapers. I also did some research on Wikipedia, and Stephen Wolfram has a site that's about math, and so I did a little bit of research about what the Poincaré conjecture is about and things like that. Sometimes these posts take 10 minutes. Sometimes I'll write them over the course of several hours. Sometimes they take several days or weeks. Sometimes I'll get three quarters finished with a post, and I don't know how to finish it. And 3 weeks later, I'll read an article that, oh, here's the ending. Here's how I want to finish this. So I'll tie that article back into this thing that I started writing 3 weeks ago, finish it, and put it up on the site. It really just varies varies by the topic and what I'm trying to do. I also do 8 to 10 shorter posts a day, and these are some examples of the shorter posts. You can see perhaps. I can't see. It's very tiny on my screen. all sorts of stuff. The one, I think four down, there's an artist is selling a sketchbook of every piece of art at the MoMA. He went, and over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, he sketched every single piece of art in the collection. And he's selling this book for $20. And it's great that you can have every piece of art in the MoMA, I think, you know, for $20, and you can take it home with you. I mean, I just think that's fantastic, and so that's why I kind of put that up there. I also do movie reviews, book reviews, and some larger projects which don't really fit in the context of a sort of a blog post. This is a voter's information guide that I did for the U.S. election in 2004, George W. Bush versus John Kerry primarily. And this came out of a frustration I was having with finding resources online about this stuff. Because I wanted to know, you know, can I vote? Where do I register to vote? Am I registered to vote already? And just things, you know, where my local polling place is, all that sort of stuff. And it wasn't really collected in one place. So this is a two-page thing that you can print out. A reader of mine actually made a one-page PDF that you could actually print out and take with you. He wanted to, he was a high school student, he wanted to hand it out in his community and at his school. And he was like, can I use this? And can I use the information? I was like, yeah, sure, go for it. And he made it available to me so that you can download it from this site as well. My readers helped. They gave me information, and I basically took it all and sort of compiled it together. This is another project called Manhattan Elsewhere, and this is a sort of a what-if view of downtown Chicago with Manhattan sitting off the shore in Lake Michigan. So you can kind of see the Empire State Building sticking up there, and then Midtown is on the right-hand side. I kind of got interested in this because Manhattan is such a weird, geographically sort of paradoxical place. When you're actually on the street in Manhattan and walking around, it seems like a huge, huge place. All these tall buildings, all these people, just kind of, it just feels big. But then you look at it on a map, and it's not that big at all. It's, you know, it's 3 miles wide, I think, at its widest point. It's 12 or 14 miles long. And so it's not really that big. And so I started playing around with how it looked, how it would look next to other big American cities. And also, I put it next to my hometown in Wisconsin, which is 2,500 people, and it was smaller than I thought it was going to be. Manhattan was, and here's the conventional sort of top view looking down downtown Chicago there on the left, and Manhattan there just off of Navy Pier. I also occasionally do a bit of journalism for the site. This is a photo that I took at a 2003 anti-war march in New York City. This was right before the U.S. invaded Iraq. And I went out and shot for 2 or 3 hours, went to the parade, basically marched the whole parade route with everyone else. Took about 200 to 300 photos. Excuse me. And I came back, I downloaded them all, about an hour and a half, picked out the best ones and put up a slideshow of about 45 photos. And within a couple hours, people were contacting me, asking me about if they could use them in an article they were writing about the anti-war march or about the situation in Iraq and things like that, newspapers, websites, things like that. So, it's just a testament to how fast this stuff can happen with the internet. You know, you can go out and shoot something and put it up, and then people are using it like 2 hours later. So, And sensekatke.org is a personal site. It's not, it is my personal website, even though I do it full time and I do earn money from it. It's still personal. And after visiting for a while, I think you start to detect, a story about who I am, about the kind of person that I am and what I'm interested in and my aesthetic sensibility and things like that. I like to say that Katke.org is my autobiography, but it's written by hundreds of other people. So I take whatever other people have written about their situations and I apply it to my situation and kind of make it my own things like that. And I'm going to show you a few quotes that I've from links that I featured on my site that express something about me, what I believe in, what I strive for, and things that are just things that mean something to me. Andreas Pavel invented the Sony Walkman, and this is what he had to say that one of the first times he used it. I just love that you can have technology that augments nature without sort of destroying it or changing it. You can just put on music in it, and it changes your experience to nature. I think you might be able to replace beauty with simplicity in that sentence. This is one of my mottos, along with Michael Fruman, who's a friend of mine. So much data, so little time. I think that has something to do with maybe what I'm talking about here as well. So I realize this might be a little hard to understand, sort of without. I think if you spend some time with Katke.org, spend a few hours browsing around, visit daily for a couple weeks, and just see the how it works and functions and goes, it would be easier to sort of visualize, I guess, what I'm talking about here. So I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to introduce you to someone who is, you might understand what he does a little bit more than kind of what I do. And I think it's kind of similar. And I admire this person and this person's approach. So So Murray Moss is a, I guess he's a shopkeeper. He's a store owner. He owns a space in Soho in Manhattan called Moss. And it's part store, part museum, part gallery. But it's primarily a retail space. Most everything in the store is for sale. And it's all not mass produced, but produced in multiple quantities. And the reason why it seems like a gallery and a museum when you walk in is that he curates his retail environment a lot like a gallery owner would curate an art show. These are two items available at Moss. The item on the left is a lamp designed by Philippe Starck. It's got a machine gun for a stand, and it's gold. And the item on the right, it's a bowl. And that's kind of the top view, so you can imagine the camera looking down on the bowl. And that bowl is made of the little toy soldiers. They're about this high, they're plastic, they're on a stand, they're kind of greenish color. And the bowl is made from them, they're all sort of melted together. And I imagine this represents something about the military-industrial complex, blah, 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 blah. If Murray were here, I would imagine he could probably talk about each of these items for half an hour. And tell you what they mean to him, and in what context he would like you to think about them, and things like that. And he really takes these products that he's not a designer himself. He takes these products, and he puts them together to make a new experience for people. And he admits that it's a completely subjective experience. He's not looking out for objectivity either. It's whatever his viewpoint is, he's gonna put those items together to express that view. And when you purchase something from Murray Moss, from his store, you're really purchasing a little bit of his viewpoint and a little bit of his taste, his worldview. And I think this is somewhat similar to what I do with information and what I do with links on my site. When you come to my site, you are getting a little bit of me and my viewpoint and what I think and things like that. You get to put yourself in my context for a while, which, depending on your context, may be good or not so good. So in conclusion, I'd like to return to the really big number, which if you remember is all the copies of all the newspapers in the world every single day. That's how much information is in them. And I also asked you to think about simplicity as a process of adding meaning and not subtracting information. And we often think of this idea of information overload as being bad, that we have too much information and we can't absorb it all, and that sucks. But I think one of the interesting things about putting these two things together, this idea of a lot of information and simplicity as a process of adding meaning, is that more information equals more potential meaning. The more information you have out there, the more meaning you can extract from it. And I think for those of us who work in the field of information or media, this idea is an opportunity for exploration, not cause for despair. Thank you.